Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a series called You Make Me Crazy. These teachings take a biblical look at topics like peace in our relationships, finding true love, breaking free from abuse, resolving conflict, ending the cycle of people-pleasing, and dealing with the crazy makers in our lives. The circumstances of last year have left many people searching for the peace and assurance you and I know can only be found in God's Word. That's why I'm excited to share that we have a $50,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give today. This is a great opportunity to reach twice as many people with the certain hope of Jesus. Together, we can take the Word of God to people in need around the world through Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Keeping the Crazy Makers from Making You Crazy.
Crazy makers don't come to their position through reason, so you can't reason them out of it. It doesn't work. You can't talk people out of a behavior they didn't talk themselves into. They got into that behavior because of an emotion, not because of logic. It's motivated reasoning. Motivated reasoning means I come up with a reason for doing something because I feel this way, and so I need a reason to do it. The motivation actually comes from the feeling, not from the reasoning. And what I've discovered is that people are going to either like you or not like you. And if they don't like you, you can't make them like you. And if they want to think a certain way, they're going to think that way. And all of the logic in the world isn't going to change their mind. In fact, if somebody has a motivated reasoning for something, then what's going to happen is when you show them how they're wrong, they just get mad at you. Show them the facts, say, oh, you got the facts wrong. You get them the facts, you think that's going to change them? Of course it's not going to change them. It wasn't the facts that caused them to make that decision anyway. They were making the decision based on emotion. But you refuse to play their game. Now, there are lots of examples of this in the Bible that shows us how not to do this. But the master of it was Jesus Christ himself. Jesus did not play games with people. There were crazy makers in Jesus' life. They were called the Pharisees. They were the religious authorities of those days, and they hated Jesus. And they had motivated reasoning, so they're always trying to trap him. They're always trying to get him to say the wrong thing. They're always trying to get him to make a mistake. They're always questioning, always probing, always playing games with Jesus, mind games. Jesus simply wouldn't play their games. Let me give you an example. Here on your outline, Matthew chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. The Pharisees plotted a way to trap Jesus into saying something damaging. Sounds like some reporters I know. Jesus knew they were up to no good, and he said, "Why are you playing these games with me? Why are you trying to trap me?" See, Jesus wouldn't even fall for it. He would not be pulled into their crazy-making games. He wouldn't be drawn into an argument that he knew was going to go nowhere. Another example of this is Jesus before Pilate. Jesus is before Pilate. Pilate starts asking him all these kind of tricky questions like, so you say you're the king of the Jews. What is truth? Who are you really? And the Bible says Jesus said not a word to Pilate. He wouldn't even answer him. Wouldn't even answer him on some of the questions. Why? He said, I'm not going to play your games. You're just trying to drag me into an argument. You see, as I said, people believe what they want to believe about you. And if they want to believe bad things, they're going to look for bad things about you. If they want to believe good things, they're going to look for good things about you. Prejudice has its own reasoning. And you can't reason with prejudice. You can't talk people out of prejudice from a logical sense because it's an emotionally based decision. So save your breath. Don't play games. Don't waste your time. Now, you can't talk people out of positions they didn't arrive at. on a logical basis. Let me give you another example. Paul. Paul is just like Jesus. Paul would never get drawn into word games or playing with the crazy makers, playing their little manipulative games. 2 Corinthians 4:2, look at this verse. Paul says, "We reject all shameful and underhanded methods." In other words, we don't have any tricks. We don't play games. "We do not try to trick anyone, and we do not distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know that." He said, "I'm not going to play your games. You may try to be crazy, but I'm not going to play your games." Jesus said it like this: "Let your yes be yes, and your no be no." Now, the reason this is important is because crazy makers use conflict to get your attention. Everybody has a deep need to be loved. We all have a deep need for approval. If you cannot get approval, then you'll get attention, either good or bad. You can see this in teenagers all the time. If they cannot get the approval of their parents, then they're going to get attention some way through all kinds of bizarre behavior or bizarre dress or bizarre lifestyle or whatever. They're going to get attention, either negative or positive, because I'm going to get your attention one way or the other, so you know that I'm valuable. And when people try to get your attention through conflict, they're just trying to hook you. Now, this used to not be such a big deal, but now with the internet, it's very easy to get hooked. Because you're reading along on there, and somebody makes some kind of off-the-wall statement on the internet, and you go, "I'm going to tell them." And in the background, that person's thinking, "Got him. I just took the big one." And every bone in your body wants to fire off a quick reply to that blog or to that email or to that statement. And I'm telling you, don't. Don't play the game. You're just getting hooked. Couple quotes. I read this one from Neal Stephenson today. He said, "Arguing with anonymous strangers on the internet is a sucker's game because they almost always turn out to be self-righteous 16-year-olds possessing infinite amounts of free time. And they got a whole lot more free time than you do, and they'd be happy to go on and on and on and on in this argument as long as you want them to." Now, 250 years before the internet, Thomas Paine, remember him from the American Revolution, said this: "To argue with a person who has renounced the use of reason is like administering medicine to the dead." In other words, it's a waste of breath. Now, he said, just don't play their game. Don't get sucked into the argument. Don't get sucked into the debate. Don't get sucked in. Just walk on by. Proverbs 26, verse 21 says this: "Just as charcoal and wood keep a fire going, a quarrelsome person keeps an argument going." You got it? He says, you know, this person likes to keep the argument going. They want to engage you in an argument. They find their meaning. They find their purpose. They find their value. They find their attention in actually getting you upset. Don't play that game. Don't get drawn into it. Don't be hooked into it. Now, how many people does it take to argue? It takes two, right? Okay. Now, if one of the people walk away, what happens to the argument? The fire goes out. The Bible says here, just as charcoal and wood keep a fire going, a quarrelsome person keeps an argument going. But if you don't join in, the fire goes out. Don't engage a quarrelsome person. Now, those of you who are business owners, you got a small business, you got one or two or three employees, or maybe you're a manager over 15 or 20 in a larger organization. Most people have no understanding how badly disharmony among a staff destroys productivity. Disharmony among the staff will destroy productivity faster than anything else. And so if you are an employer, you need to fire quarrelsome people quickly. It's like, get the bad apple out of the bunch quickly. Fire quarrelsome people quickly. Why? You know why? Because quarrelsome people are contagious. Troublemakers infect others. And all of a sudden, one complaining becomes two complaining, and then three complaining, and then five complaining, and then everybody's complaining. You need to fire the person quickly. The Bible says to do this over and over in many ways. You see, the rest of your team, if you're an employer, the rest of your team deserves a peaceful work environment. To not be stressed out, having one troublemaker constantly stirring everything up, causing contention, causing conflict, causing gossip, you need to owe it to them as the leader to remove that person out of the business. Now, let me give you two verses. These aren't on your outline, so write them down. Proverbs 22, verse 10. Proverbs 22, verse 10 says this in the Living Bible. Throw out the mocker, and you'll be rid of tension, fighting, and quarrels. You want to get the tension, the fighting, and the quarrels out of your business? Throw out the mocker, the person who's the troublemaker, the quarrelsome, the crazy maker who likes to argue. Let me give you another one, Titus 3:10. This one's actually advice to pastors. And it says that if there's a troublemaker in a church, you give them two warnings, then the pastor is to put them out of the church. We graciously invite you to go visit some other church. You just dismiss them. Say, look, you had two warnings, but you're causing chaos. You're causing conflict. And the Bible says, pastor, you're supposed to take them out. Now, you refuse to play their game. Number five, the fifth step in dealing with troublemaker is you refuse to cave in. You refuse to cave in, to give in to their demands, to what they want. The crazy maker who is demanding or demeaning or derogatory or deafening or destructive or, you know, discontented or disapproving, whatever we're talking about here, the crazy maker in your life, you refuse to cave in. You do not allow them to manipulate your life. Love is not allowing people to manipulate you. That's unloving to you. It's unloving to God. It's unloving to them. Love is not giving in to manipulation. That is not the loving thing to do. Now, many believers just don't get this, what I'm about to talk about. So I'm going to camp on this for just a minute. Because a lot of Christians think that the Christian way to respond to irritating or crazy-making people in the life is just let them have their way. In other words, just passively acquiesce. I submit. I let you have your way. I give in to the crazy makers. I let them run all over me. I lay down, and I become a doormat. There's not one verse in this book, the Holy Bible, that says God wants you to be a doormat. Not one verse. Now you say, but wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to forgive? Didn't we just talk about love and forgiveness? Yes, we did. But forgiveness and trust are two different things. Let's review it again. We've covered this before. Forgiveness is instant and it is by grace. Trust is by works and it takes time. The illustration I gave you before was if a woman's husband is beating her, he's alcoholic and in a drunken rage, he beats his wife. And she kicks him out of the house. And he comes back that night and he says, will you forgive me? She has to forgive him. Yes, I do forgive you. First, God commands it. Second, she's been forgiven. Third, she's going to need more forgiveness in the future. And fourth, she doesn't want to have that resentment stuck in her life, which hurts her more than it hurts him. She has to forgive him. But he says, will you let me back in the house? Oh, no, that's a different matter. Forgiveness is instant. Trust is earned. Does that make sense? And that's why people don't understand when a leader has a moral failure. Some people say, well, we should forgive him, just let him go on. No, no. Forgiveness instant, yes. But you don't restore them to leadership instantly. They need to go through a restoration process. Forgiveness is instant. Trust is built over time. And forgiveness does not mean when you hurt me, I forgive you, but I'm going to keep on letting you hurt me. Those are two different issues. Now, the Bible teaches us not to cave in to crazy makers. Let me give you some examples. Let's say you're asked to violate your conscience at work. And you know it's wrong. And you feel pressured and manipulated to do it. What are you going to do? Let me give you another example. What if you're asked to work a schedule where you never get to go to worship anymore? What are you going to do? What if you're standing by the water cooler or you're with some friends on the side of a little league game and you hear a disparaging remark about a Christian? You're going to keep your mouth shut? What are you going to do? You're going to cave on that? You're going to wimp out on that? What does the Bible want you to do? Look at the next verse, Romans 14, 16. Do not allow, notice, do not allow, do not allow what you consider good to be spoken evil of. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, speak up. Don't cave in. You see, many Christians are afraid to speak up, and they are letting all kinds of people get away with murder in their life. And that's not what God wants you to do. People say, wait a minute, aren't Christians supposed to be meek? Yes, we are. But meek is not weak. Those are two very different things. Meek is incredibly strong. Weak is incredibly weak. We are to be meek people, not weak people. What is meek? The word meek is a Greek term that actually means, it was a term used for training a wild stallion. Once that wild stallion is trained, it is broken, it is brought under control so that it can be ridden by the master, that stallion that was wild is called meek. It is now a meek stallion. Now, has that wild stallion lost any of its strength? Absolutely not. That horse is still just as strong as it was when it was wild and unbroken. Meek does not mean weak. It means brought under control, bottled up for the master's use. And that's what it means to be meek. I'm not a weak person. I'm a strong person. But it is under control of the master. I don't just go off and, you know, fly off on a tangent because I'd like to. Meek means strength under control for the master's use. And that's what God wants you to be. You know, Paul actually chided the Corinthians. He started a church in a place called Corinth, Greece. And he wrote two letters to them, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And he chides the Corinthians for being wimps with the bullies. He says, you just keep on giving in to all the bullies in your life. What's wrong with you guys? You keep letting people intimidate you. You just cave in all the time. Look at this verse up here on the screen. 2 Corinthians 11:20 says this. You let people make slaves of you and cheat you and steal from you. Why, you even let them strut around and slap you in the face. That's the contemporary English version. Let me read the same verse in the NIV, New International. Paul says, you guys in Corinth, you even put up, he says, you just put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you. He says, you just put up with it. What are you thinking? Or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. What is Paul saying? God does not expect you to be a doormat.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. If you missed any part of today's message, just go to PastorRick.com to listen again. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. The circumstances of last year have left many people searching for the peace and assurance you and I know can only be found in God's Word. This means the need for the hope of Christ is greater than ever. That's why I'm excited to share that we have a $50,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give today. This is a great opportunity to reach twice as many people with the certain hope of Jesus. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers,
and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
Today when you give, we'll say thanks for your support by sending the brand new deck of relationship scripture cards. These colorful, eye-catching cards will help you memorize the Word of God so you have it when you need it most. Go to PastorRick.com today to have your financial gift matched up to $50,000. You can also text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to give. This opportunity is only available to the end of this month, so please contact us right away. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.